This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. The sweet sound of the San Luis Obispo local band Soul Maps is the perfect backdrop to talk about the sweet taste of caramels. These aren't those plastic-tasting national brand cubes. These are handmade caramels with local honey prepared in a kitchen of a nurse and a mom of two kids in Atascadero. I discovered these caramels at a food and drink event, and I needed to know more, so I invited myself into Aaron's kitchen to learn all about honey caramels.
Aaron Holden, I'm the owner of Queen Bee Caramels.
Where did the name come from?
So I'm a beekeeper and I use honey from my own beehives in all the recipes. So kind of a play on being the queen bee of my life.
How long have you been doing this?
This would be 3 years this June. Yeah, 3 years this June. But I've been a beekeeper for 10 years. So
I'd imagine that the honey gives it, these are kind of unique caramels, not kind of like your Brocks.
Yeah, you can Google and find honey caramels throughout the country, but there aren't many in California that I've ever found. So it was, kind of a fun twist. And I had excess of honey that I needed to do something with.
How many bees do you have?
Right now, I still have 7 hives that have made it through the winter, and I've had upwards of 10 at a time.
Wow. And do you sell your honey?
Not anymore, because it needs to all go into the recipes.
Oh, yeah. You make that many caramels?
Yeah, I do have some honey, like still from last year that we're finishing up. But yeah, I do make that many caramels.
We're here in your house. So my question for you is, are you cottage?
Yes. So I have a cottage industry license and renew that every year and allows me to work out of my home kitchen. In the state of California and other states, you can get a cottage industry license, which allows you to cook out of your home kitchen. And different counties have different regulations. And then the county comes and does an inspection of my kitchen once a year and makes sure I'm following all the regulations and my fridge is the right temperature and proper sanitary practices. And then, lets me cook out of my home kitchen.
Are you going to make caramels for me today?
Yes. Yep. Getting ready and I've got orders that came through, and so gotta get rolling.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
What are the ingredients that we have here to make caramels?
While I still am using my own honey, I still have to use a granulated sugar, and then heavy whipping cream, butter, and still a little bit of corn syrup. The honey that my bees produce is really dark, and it almost has a bitter flavor to it, so kind of cut that a little bit with some corn syrup as well. And then depending on the flavors, go from there. They all pretty much have an equal base recipe, and then change it up based on the flavors.
In this corn syrup jug, is that your honey?
Yes, I always have leftover jugs of corn syrup, and they are the perfect container to store honey in because it's easy to pour out of. I used to just keep them in 5-gallon buckets, and then it's like really difficult to pour, only 6 ounces of honey out of a 5-gallon bucket, obviously, because it's extremely heavy. I do them by pan, so I've got 2 different size silicone pans that they're going to be poured into. One I just call a large batch, one I call a half batch. So the smaller pans make my half batch, and then we're going to use a bigger pot to make a double batch.
Do you do this every single day?
Not this season. So some seasons I am. So obviously going into Christmas and just depending on how many orders come in. Right now, I think I've got 3 or 4 clients that ordered because I sell throughout the county. So I'm making their orders. And then I've got 2 events next weekend that I'm making caramels for.
You put these 4 ingredients, right? Sugar, 3 types of sugar and 2 types of dairy fat.
Yep.
That's why I like them so much. What's the process?
So for me, it's super easy. I just measure all my ingredients out and put them on the stove, stir a little bit, get them to the right temperature, which is going to be around 250 degrees, pour them in the pans and let them cool, and then cut and wrap them. So a lot of people are like, oh man, it must be so intense. You're standing over the stove stirring nonstop. I'm like, no, not really. I'm only stirring in the beginning so that the sugar mixes in and it gets cohesive, and then I'm done stirring until I pour it out.
That sounds pretty simple. And what got you started on this?
So during the pandemic, my mom had bought me one of those Alexas that has the video screen, so you could stay in touch with family and have face-to-face conversations with people. But it would also pop up all these different recipes. And one day it showed a recipe for a bourbon black pepper caramel. I'm like, all right, I'll make that. I like to bake. I like to cook. I've worked at a bakery before. And so I made it and it was tasty. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I could develop a honey-based caramel recipe. So I kind of looked up ideas for what the ratios could be and kind of developed a recipe. Started playing with tons of different flavors, took them to work. People loved them. I've always wanted to have my own little business and side gig and just went down the rabbit hole.
Took them to work. Are you still in that job or is this supporting your family?
Yeah, no, I am a full-time ER nurse.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I do that full time, 3 12-hour shifts, and then fit in caramels where I can.
Wow. Okay. Full-time ER nurse.
And kids.
And kids. Yeah. A 5-year-old and an almost 8-year-old. So there's always a lot going on that makes it hard to fully pay attention to the caramels.
Okay. So this first one is starting to bubble a little bit.
Yes. And we're going to add the thermometer sooner than later because we don't want it to be done before we've got a thermometer into it and make sure we pull it at the right temperature.
What are some of your greatest mistakes?
Flavors, for sure. Sometimes flavors haven't worked out. Like, I finally got matcha down, but if you add too much matcha or not the right quality of matcha, it just tastes like you're eating a handful of dirt. So that's no good. And then I've definitely overcooked and I've definitely undercooked. And probably in 2.5 years, I've probably only had to throw out like 4 batches. A little painful, but...
So this one's really bubbling. Oh, you've got a third batch going on.
Oh yeah. Oh. So I'll do as much as 5 at a time. Have I done 6 at a time?
Ooh. This one's really going. This first one's really going. I've made caramels maybe once or twice, mm-hmm. and I would have been reluctant to get it to that big of a boil.
Oh yeah. So I have had them boil over. So this bigger pot cannot go in the smaller pot. This bigger double batch would boil over that small pot for sure. So that I can say I've done probably only twice until I finally... Like, stop trying to fit something that doesn't fit.
Do you have any thoughts on caramel versus caramel?
Well, I looked it up because I wanted to be right when I started taking on this business. And I looked it up and it says caramel. So now I adamantly say caramel whenever I can. And there is that extra A. So it's never Carmel. It's not the city. And I don't correct people, but I will say caramel.
I know. I say caramels, knowing that it does have the extra A. I don't know. It's just what I do. Nice thermometer there. The first one that's boiling quite a bit is at 225.
That's the temperature it is. It's going to alarm at 248, but then we're going to pour it at 250.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, learning how to make caramels on a commercial scale out of a home kitchen. Erin Holden is an ER nurse, wife, and mother of two, and she's got quite a sweet side hustle with her homemade caramels made with honey from her own beehives. As the caramels bubble on the stove, we talk flavors. You were talking about your different flavors, and I see a big jug of Jim Beam on the counter. Is that for the caramels, or is that for you?
That is definitely for the caramels. I'm going to make bourbon caramels and the churro for that Paso General store order.
How many different flavors do you have?
Always 3. And then once I get into more events, we add 2 more. So there's always honey sea salt, honey bourbon, honey smoked almond. And then not every store carries all of those, but I always offer them and they're always at every market. Coming up in the spring, we'll have honey lavender and then cherry almond goes kind of throughout the year, but that's not a flavor I'm going to let sell on a shelf because cherry almond, you have to taste it to really know that you like it and then buy it. And then lavender goes away in the fall and we put in pumpkin pie. And then the churros at the Paso General store. And I started making matcha again, which the slow Asian market is going to carry. So they're there as well.
So how do you do the pumpkin spice?
It actually has pureed canned pumpkin goes into the recipe with nutmeg, clove, ginger, and allspice.
And how did you figure out how to make a caramel with like real pumpkin in it?
Just playing around. I kind of know that a small batch, it's pretty good with like 3 ounces of something else in it, especially when it's a wet item, because I obviously have to make sure that it's going to keep cooking. So it did take some time to make sure you also got the right temperature. So just a little bit of playing around and figuring it out. I always have other flavors. So I've got like a wedding that I'm going to help with in April, and they're getting orange cardamom as one of their flavors, which I've made before, which I love. But if you go to events, it just becomes too overwhelming to have more than 5 flavors, especially because we sample everything at every event. And it's just easier to keep it, you know, between 3 to 5 flavors.
It sounds like that your caramels are always kind of fresh.
Yeah, definitely. They do have a good 3-month shelf life, but luckily they do sell out within 3 months at most places. Obviously, the events, people are eating them pretty darn quickly, but I've never had anybody say they got a bag that wasn't good. I'm registered with the county to be able to sell and sample. If I wasn't sampling, then I could just go to the events. But sampling is what makes people love them and want to buy them.
Sampling makes the sale.
Yes, definitely. Especially those different flavors. There's so many people that are like shocked that they love cherry almond. And I make sure some people are like, oh, I definitely don't like cherries anyway. It's then fine. Don't taste it. But a lot of people are like, that is way better than I would have ever thought. And it can be fun to see people's reactions.
Tell me about this cherry almond that you say you either love it or hate it. What made you think of it? And why do you make it if it's so polarized?
So I love watching the Great British Bake Off. And they have a recipe or a dessert called the Bakewell Tart. So it's cherry almond, essentially, in a tart. But then you keep watching season after season and someone's like, oh, I'm going to make a Bakewell Tart cookie. I'm going to make a Bakewell Tart croissant. And use those flavor profiles as the inspiration on the different challenges. So I just was like, oh, I could make a Bakewell Tart caramel. So that's how I came up with that. And I would say it's polarizing really with the cherry flavor. People just, I guess, love or hate cherry, which I wouldn't have thought. It's rarely the almond that people are avoiding.
Interesting.
And now the matcha is becoming very polarizing. I got some very interesting comments from people that probably just don't ever like matcha, don't drink matcha in the first place.
That would be me.
It's a very specific flavor that people will say is dirt-like, but a lot of people in their 20s and 30s really liked it, so...
So I can see that the one we put on first is at 234 degrees, and it's thickening up quite well.
Yep, gets thicker, gets lower in the pan. Don't really have to keep stirring it, just wait, but I do need to measure out the bourbon that's gonna go in that.
And the big one's starting to boil. So how much bourbon goes into a batch?
3 ounces in that smaller batch, 6 in the larger batch. Because it's so much liquid, you have to add it, and then you bring the caramels almost all the way up to that 250 degrees, and then pour in most of the bourbon. But because the bourbon is so wet, if you were to then take it off the stove, you'd just have a super soft, ridiculously soft caramel that you wouldn't even be able to cut. So then you have to heat it back up after adding the bourbon.
And I noticed that you're doing your bourbon by weight.
Yeah, everything by weight, because then I don't have to dirty another measuring cup.
So these look like they were recently packaged, or wrapped, I should say.
Yep, cut and wrapped this week, and then eventually they'll just get bagged and go out to make somebody happy.
Wow, what flavor is this?
Honey sea salt.
How long do they take to cool?
I give them at least 6 hours. Generally, I do it overnight. I'll cook a lot in the morning. My kids get dropped off for school at 9. I don't have to leave for work until 10:30, so I can usually get a batch or however many batches I need to get done before I head into work. So then I don't get home till midnight, so I'm not going to cut and wrap until the next day anyway.
There's your 250. So that alcohol is evaporating really quickly, and some of the water as well, because it's above the boiling point for water.
Yeah, so it steams like crazy. It'll splash all over if I add too much at once. So we just do it slowly, just getting that flavor in there. And then I do leave about like a tablespoon at the very end to add when everything's back up to the right temperature. And then that tablespoon will still burn off alcohol-wise, but still make sure it's got a good bourbon flavor.
So it went down to 213, 250 to 213, wow.
Yeah, it cools off very quickly, and then we get it heating back up and finalize the rest of the way.
How often do you burn yourself?
Rarely, luckily, very rarely. I get stung by bees more often than I burn myself with caramels.
Because candy is such a higher temperature than dinner.
Yeah, and this would stick to your skin. It would be a big disaster. It's definitely always in the back of my mind. And I mean, with a cottage industry license, you can't have pets or children in the kitchen when you're doing this anyway. But, you know, if you're going to be making caramels anyway, you probably don't need your children running around the kitchen at all.
So you're looking at the temperature again. Oh,
yep.
There it is.
I'm just going to pull it now. It's at 248. But I'm going to pull it because it does still tend to heat a little bit more.
And it looks right and yeah. Feels right. I mean, like I said, I've only made caramels once or twice, but to me it looks like it's going to set into what it's supposed to.
Yeah, super thick and bubbly, and any farther you might be chopping through brittle. Okay, and then the other one's done and needs its bourbon. So we're just going to turn it off for a second so it doesn't get too hot. Adding the last of the bourbon to the batch that's officially more done.
Ooh,
but
cool.
Still doesn't last too
long. That's cool.
All right, well, now we pour them out.
Okay. Which doesn't make any sound.
No sounds.
You're listening to KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, making caramels in Atascadero. We just poured the bourbon into the hot caramel sauce and watched it violently foam up, and then poured it into a pan to cool and become the delicious, chewy caramels we all love. And now Aaron is going to finish up the churro-flavored caramels. So you started at about, what, 140, and it's 217.
Yeah, it's pretty fast.
So that's 40 minutes, less
and
than
different
40.
Different pots cook faster than other pots, too. So this one is one of my faster pots.
Okay, so this is the big one, and you're going to do...
Churro.
And so what are the flavors you're going to put in there?
Just cinnamon. But then, you know, when I first was developing a flavor for the Paso General store, because they wanted an exclusive flavor, and we kind of went back and forth on different ideas, and I don't remember who said churro, but I was like, well, but all it is a cinnamon caramel. Like, what is gonna make this even stand out from just saying it's cinnamon? And I was saying that to my husband, and he's like, well, why don't you roll it in cinnamon sugar? I'm like, oh, yeah. So once this batch, while it has cinnamon in the caramels, I take them, cut them, and before they're wrapped, they each get hand-dipped in cinnamon sugar. It was a genius moment of his.
Could you use overused fryer oil?
Oh my goodness. Oh, that would be, yeah, they definitely have the fried flavor, wouldn't they?
So quite a bit of cinnamon.
Yeah, 2 tablespoons for this double batch. And this batch will make about 28 bags worth, so approximately 280 individual caramels. And it smells amazing.
How many caramels do you eat a day?
Practically none now. I'm over it. I hardly eat them at all. Maybe if I've developed a new flavor I want to taste, which I don't do very much anymore. My children eat more than me, that's for sure.
And do you do anything special for like family and friends at holidays or something where you might like cover it with chocolate or put nuts in it or whatever?
Well, for my 40th birthday, I made a honey bacon caramel, which would be one I can't sell because of the bacon, but it was pretty amazing. So I did that for my 40th birthday and just handed those out as presents on my birthday.
Was it chopped bacon inside or did you cover a piece of bacon in caramel?
Yeah, chopped mixed in at the end. So cooked the bacon, chopped it up and added it. And it was different because the fat kind of melted in as well. They were a little bit greasy, but they were very tasty.
Okay, so they're all poured into the pans. Where do they go now?
I got a rack on the other side of the kitchen my husband built me. And so they just go there until they're cooled off. And then I'll get to cutting them in the next day or two. My large tray takes me now about 45 minutes to cut and wrap.
What do you cut it with?
A pizza rocker knife.
Oh, the pizza rocker. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So I used to just use my chef's knife, which I then broke one day. But yeah, the pizza cutting knife works perfect and pretty fast. After that, then they're bagged, and each bag is labeled differently depending on the flavor. The colors are a little different per flavor, so they all have their own little personality, and then they go out for consumption.
They all look fairly consistent in size. How do you get the right size?
So it is all by eyeball, so they all are going to be slightly different. They're not going to be exact, but they're close enough where they can still meet weight in the bag, and you're not going to get one that's crazy big or crazy small. They're hand done, so they're not going to be commercially exactly the same.
What are they wrapped in?
Wax paper. Took a little bit to learn that, like, oh, just because it looks like it'll be what I need off Amazon, oh, it comes and it's only parchment. It's going to completely stick to the caramel. I know exactly what I'm ordering now. I don't deviate from my order.
So that was fun and fascinating. I wanted to find out what the general public thought, so I went to one of the events and ran into the most enthusiastic taster.
Top notch. Come out and try them. Come on down to Queen Bee Caramels. Sourced from the honey up in Atascadero. Is that how I say it? All right. Come and get them while they're still here. Otherwise, I'm going to buy them all.
So I take it you like them.
I love them.
What flavors did you try?
I think I've tried them all, actually. Yeah.
What was your favorite?
I'm actually very surprised. The matcha caramel, I didn't think that would work. It was incredible. And then the almond smoked sea salt caramel. Whoa. Wowza.
They're all delicious. They are so delicious.
Have you had them before?
No, I haven't. This is the first time.
Homemade caramels are tasty indeed. Not everyone was as enthusiastic as that first person. Go ahead and try your hand at homemade caramels or pop into the boutique shops of Slow County and pick up a bag of Queen Bee. And remember, it's caramels.
Of course, because I saw her make the bourbon ones.
Okay. Here's a bourbon for you.
Thank you.
May we please have a bag of the honey matcha and then a bag of the honey with smoked almonds and smoked sea salt?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, there's still some left. I can't believe it.
This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.
That was another original song.